Welcome back to Brain Core, the podcast that introduces you to new psychology and neuroscience research. I'm Tolu Feromika, and I'm joined by my co-host, Christina Valkanis. So last year, I attended the TransTech conference. I think I've talked about it before on here, where innovators, professionals, and students interested in technology were in attendance. And I remember texting Christina about like all the cool products speakers were showcasing. And we were like, why don't we focus a whole month on neurotechnology? So that's what we're doing with February. We talked about it a lot last episode. It's this intersection between neuroscience and technology. Before the conference, however, I came across this video on YouTube where the video was showcasing a company's product that allowed you to control games with your mind. So not with controllers or anything, just with your EEG brainwaves. And the company is called Neurable. So with that, excitingly, we are joined by a co-founder of Neurable, Adam Molnar. Adam, thank you for joining us.
Hi, it's my pleasure.
Awesome. So we're really glad to have you on. So you're head of partnerships at Neurable, right?
Yes.
That's cool. I recently saw that you were also on the Forbes Consumer Technology 30 Under 30 list. That's pretty impressive. And we like hearing about backgrounds here. So we're wondering, like, what led you to your current position? Like, did you always know you wanted to work at a company doing something with technology?
That's a great question. The honest answer is I kind of fell into it, that my path was a little bit atypical. So I am a first generation American. Neither of my parents went to college, so I had no formal trajectory set for me. So after I graduated my university studies, I had a job doing consulting, but I didn't think that was what I wanted to do long term. So in the process, I actually started another company, and I moved back to my university where I found a senior in computer science to help me launch it. And it was going really well. We had ups and downs. Ultimately, I had to close the project. But then I was hired by the university to help co-run the incubator program that they had. And in doing that, one of the best companies was really just this one crazy guy. He has a neuroscience PhD driven to change the world. And at some point, his name is Dr. Ramses Zalkade. Mm-hmm. At some point, he reached out to me. He was like, hey, Adam, I'd love for you to join. And the rest is kind of history, that I had an atypical path. I didn't think that I would be in neurotechnology by any means, but the ride has been truly incredible so far.
That's so cool. So Neurable is a brain-computer interface company. And for listeners, that's our term of the episode, or TOTE. So Adam, could you tell us a little bit about what a brain-computer interface is and perhaps what Neurable aims to ultimately achieve with it?
So I'll start with answering the first question with this. What is a brain-computer interface? And from my perspective, it is the connection between brain and machine to allow for greater things to happen. So that's very general, and what at Neurable, how we take advantage of that is we use brain activity to help us better understand ourselves. It started with this capability to identify a neural response faster than had been done before, and we leverage that to control computing devices with the idea that every computing platform has a companion interaction modality that allows you to take full advantage of the system. For example, the personal computer before that, computing systems were fed with punch cards and were wholly unavailable to lay users. It was the advent of the keyboard, mouse, and GUI interface that allowed for more general consumers to take advantage of the power of the personal computer, or the computer in general. And you see something similar with smartphone technology, where a lot of that technology existed a decade before Apple made the capacitive touchscreen the standard, and that really led the way for the future of smartphone development to a point where it's hard to leave your house without your smartphone device. And there's a trend that you see with the evolution of these computing systems and their companion interaction modalities, which is the gap between human and machine diminishes to a point where we literally touch and talk to our devices today. Mm-hmm. So our bet back in 2016, when we had this capability to do hands-free control, was that immersive computing was the biggest thing in 2016. It was, I'd say, the peak of virtual reality's hype bubble, if you follow the Gartner hype cycle. So our understanding was that we could build this hands-free modality of control to take advantage of immersive computing, to generate that next step, to bring the gap between human and machine closer, where it's now actually interfacing with your brain to some degree. That was a great campaign, and it allowed us to do really amazing things, but ultimately it left us with very impressive technology and not necessarily the best product for mass rollout. Mm-hmm. At Neurable, what we've been doing is working for the past 2.5 years on building what we call the everyday BCI, the everyday brain computer interface, a piece of technology that we'll use consistently, not just for when we need the neurotech, but it naturally integrates with our normal lifestyle. There's a lot of information. So if you have any questions, let me know.
No, that it's really interesting. And you mentioned the Gartner hype cycle. Could you explain a little? I saw the little bell curve diagram on your website. Can you explain a bit what that is?
Yeah, so it's basically a diagram that's used to map the trajectories of emerging technology from beginning of inception all the way to full rollout. There's like the peak of enlightenment, which is that peak hype bubble that I was talking about for virtual reality, followed by a trough of disillusionment, which is like, oh, we really want this really cool technology, but it's actually not necessarily the most practical solution. Mm-hmm. So what is this rough patch where we're trying to figure out the best analogy is looking at virtual reality because it's very present.
Yeah.
2016, the peak of that hype bubble, followed by 2017, where we have that trough of disillusionment. And then in 2018, 2019, we get this slope of enlightenment, which is this idea that we're starting to find product market fit, which is a really important term for emerging technology and products in general, mm-hmm. where virtual reality, although it had a niche in gaming, the sustainable business started to come from virtual training. And that has just been getting bigger and bigger every year. So Neurable has been matching that every step of the way. But that's generally my explanation of the Gartner hype cycle and how it pertains to neurotechnology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So I know that you folks initially started off with like the virtual reality and kind of telekinetic technology where you could control objects in VR or in real life with your mind alone. And now I've read some stuff that you're focusing more on focus and attention, like how EEG can be used to measure and improve focus and reduce distraction. And since we like to focus on the science behind these technologies and our audience is mostly psych and neuro undergrads, would you be able to give a nutshell explanation of how the technology works?
I can give a very nutshell explanation, yeah. And with a plug that we're very close to announcing this not announced product yet, so stay tuned for more information. But basically, we look to changes in brain activity as understood as voltage fluctuations, in other words, electroencephalography or EEG. Mm-hmm. We teach algorithms to look for certain markers that we've spent years learning about so that we could best understand human behavior and create a model that's able to estimate that kind of behavior, which is what you're hinting towards and which I'm trying to, the best of my ability, explain without giving it all away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this the move from virtual reality to our next product, the Everyday BCI, is this idea that we don't use virtual reality every day. It's not something that we carry with us like our smartphone yet. So what is the modality that we could use to help impact the most amount of people the most significantly? And that's what we're doing with this performance-oriented product that will be in the form of a wearable.
Awesome. Yeah, we talked a bit about that in our last episode. Tolu and I were trying to figure out like how we can identify these markers, because it's not going to look exactly the same. Like, my brain activity might not be the same as Tolu's, but how can we generalize that and find ways to use it to control virtual reality or something? So I think that's really cool that you guys are working on that every day. And you also mentioned like smartphones as an analogy. And I know that technology usually comes out in generations. And you said that already, like the iPhone comes out with different phones each year. In terms of Neurable as a company, do you guys envision a similar path where you're going to produce generations of products?
What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to be presumptive. Let us get our first product out, and then we can talk about generations of product to be released.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was checking out the blog on the Neurable website, and something was written about, I guess, the future of neurotechnology, and it was interesting to me. Basically, you were saying that some companies might focus on consumer-facing applications or their research or business-to-business efforts. From my understanding, would you say that, like, Neurable focuses on all three of those aspects?
Not necessarily. So right now, what we do is we are focusing on a consumer-oriented product, meaning mm-hmm. that the device would be used for the user in the ways that they want to. I think the best analogy is comparing it to a Fitbit, where what we're about to release is a form factor that you would use daily that provides you basic but valuable data with actionable insights so that you can consciously improve your lifestyle. And then, so you asked about who is our target, and I'm saying that primarily it's this consumer, but we do have partnerships with other companies to do some kind of B2B play. That's less of a focus to Neurable as a full company, but definitely something that we're entertaining and exploring further. And for that, we leverage partnerships to fill in the gaps where we might have and not be able to do ourselves.
Yeah, and I know some of the other companies developing similar technologies like OpenBCI or Paradromics and others, which is exciting because we get a peek into the future. But what does the future of Neurable wearables look like, and how do you think that that would differ from these other companies?
All of those companies are doing really great things, and we have relationships with the founders of both of those and many others. I think the key difference is there are so many barriers to entry for making neurotechnology a viable product that most organizations try to target one of those key barriers, like whether it's the type of sensors or the quality of the algorithms or the extent of the capability that the device provides. So I find that a lot of these organizations focus on one of those barriers, where at Neurable, what we do is we know that it will take a holistic approach in tackling all of those barriers in order to make something not just an experimental device, not just something that you play around with, but something that you actually derive value from daily and consistently. That's a really big challenge, because anything neurotechnologically related is very difficult. Speak to any researcher that's worked with EEG, and they can expand on all of the challenges that go into making sense of the brain by using that. So that's, I think, the big difference. The Neurable is focusing all of our efforts to creating the best consumer product versus other people who might optimize for a single aspect of the challenges in working with neurotechnology.
I think that's really great that you're focusing on on the technology as a holistic thing and trying to develop it in that way.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a really cool holistic approach.
Thank you. And sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so one thing that makes people apprehensive, I guess, when they hear about BCIs is perhaps the possibility that it'll be invasive or there'll be privacy issues. So how does Neurable like respond to those concerns?
Very loudly, by saying that those concerns are important. I think BCI companies tend to wave away those issues, saying that those concerns are due to a lack of understanding or some other kind of misguided belief. But I actually think differently, that the fact that people are concerned about how this product would be used is enough to know that we need to be listening to that. Neurable goes out of its way to speak with leaders in neural ethics, data ethics, and the various ways of protecting user privacy to make sure that as we're building a potentially life-changing, world-changing technology, that we're doing so with the best interest of the people in mind. And that's one of the basic tenets of good data practices. So Neurable's position is that we lean into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it speaks to the empathy that the company has to be able to understand the consumer's concerns. On another note, I wanted to just bring in the pandemic, because it's something that we've all been impacted by. And I was just wondering how you maybe dealt with the pandemic and changes to working from home. I know Shida was saying that she was loving the remote work, but what lessons has the pandemic taught you folks as a company?
Yeah, and for those who don't know who Shida is, she is one of our marketing associates. I think Neurable is very fortunate when it came to the pandemic that we had people working remotely previously. So the switch from going in the office and being a remote company to fully remote wasn't terribly challenging. Obviously, there were like little points of friction, but overall, we were able to do so pretty well.
That's good. Do you ever think, I know this might be a little out of the box, but could you see Neurable's technology ever being used to help improve remote work, like maybe having VR meetings or something like that?
I don't know if Shida like paid you to ask this question, but it's like the perfect one. And I should also point out that Neurable's next product is not virtual reality required.
Mm-hmm.
That it's actually like you could use it with virtual reality, but the intention is to use it for more general and practical applications, like while you're working at a desk or on your commute. That we are looking at how can people use this as much as possible, as opposed to some niche market. In regards to the future of work, that is the entire industry that we're building for. Like, to some extent, the pandemic accelerated and brought to the forefront a lot of the needs and challenges that need to be addressed when looking at what the future of work looks like. What is the new normal? What is our remote model? And what are the challenges associated with all of those? So the product that we're very close to announcing is built with that in mind, directly, actually. So to some extent, like, the pandemic has better helped us understand how to best impact the lives of individuals with neurotechnology.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Shida didn't pay me to ask that. It was funny. It came up because my dad works in construction and he was doing office buildings, but they're trying to rent out office spaces so that people don't have like a permanent office. You just use it if you want to have a meeting. And then I was like, well, what if you could just have we have Zoom now, but what if you could have like a virtual office space? So that's.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of other people working in that domain that can speak to that idea better than I can. Mm-hmm. There are awesome companies that are building virtual reality conferencing systems. But like, again, like Neurable is no longer a virtual reality company. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So the VCI field, I think, seems to be composed of like different subjects, like neuroscience, computer science, engineering, and even marketing, to go back to like Shida's position, and so on. So we're using this year to highlight intersections with neuroscience and psychology. How would you say neuroscience and like that technology intersection has helped the development of products at Neurable?
Well, one thing that I'd like to dispel is this idea that neurotechnology is something new. The application of it and turning it into product is the same as you would for any other kind of emerging product.
Mm-hmm.
So the intersection with other fields is natural and part of that organic growth from research to prototypes to actual product that is delightful to the user. But some of the specific ways that Neurable looks at interdisciplinary perspectives to enhance what we do is we speak with a lot of psychologists, psychiatrists, neuroscientists, data scientists, and product individuals to help us understand how the intersection of this allows us to tackle the challenges that we were just talking about. Like, we want to best understand how a user would naturally work with this as opposed to forcing it on them.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's a good use of those different avenues. So I think we'll wrap things up. My last question is, do you have any advice for those who would like to get involved or learn more about BCIs?
Absolutely. One of the best resources, selfless plug right here, is we have a blog report written by one of our scientists who explains what it takes to, and more from a technical perspective, but what it takes to break into the BCI industry.
Mm-hmm.
More personal advice that I can give is that if you're really passionate about it, just go for it. That right now, the people who are involved in this field, everyone's a pioneer. That we're figuring out unknown unknowns, which is one of the most challenging thing in converting emerging technology into a delightful product. So if you're interested in this, and even if you're not necessarily interested in neurotechnology specifically, I think it's helpful to see and think about where neurotechnology is going to go, because it can apply to so many different domains. Like, we have really interesting conversations with artists who would like to use this type of tool to enhance their own artistic endeavors, or speaking with performance coaches and teams about how we can use this next product to help people perform better and be their best self. So neurotechnology is just the thing that powers the product, but the product itself is a wearable that stands on its own. A lot of what we do at Neurable is build the tools and then organize and format those tools in a way so that people can use them to get value in their life. And then that is what we call a product.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for coming on to talk with us. It's always cool to get an inside look into the workings of a company, especially Neurable. It was really cool to hear about your journey and how you made it to where you are now. I find every time we ask that question, it's always a very atypical journey. But I think that helps students as well who think that it's going to be a straight path. Sometimes it isn't. But yeah, so I think what Neurable is working on sounds really exciting, and I personally can't wait to see what products come from you guys. If you'd like to find out more about Neurable, I'll put their website link in the bio so you can check it out. You can let us know what you thought about this episode. Is this the kind of work you're interested in now as a student? You can let us know. Our email is thebraincorepodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram @thebraincorepodcast and on Twitter @thebraincorepod. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we always appreciate when you guys leave a rating or a comment, because it helps us to reach a wider audience. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you are having a great brain day.